Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast, Latin America and U.S. and worldwide. Why not? I am your host, Xavier Basáñez, Managing Director for Latin and U.S. in Alcott Global. For me, today is a great pleasure to have with us Mario Berra. Welcome, Mario.
Hello, Xavier. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure for me.
Great, Mario. For the people that don't know Mario, Mario is the Senior VP Americas and Global Manufacturing at Big Corporation for the last 2 years. He's based in Mexico. And previously, Mario performed as a VP Manufacturing Americas and also Industrial Director Stationery for Americas in Big. Before joining Big, he worked for Electrolux as a plant manager for over 2 years, and also previously responsibilities as operation director and operation manager. He also worked at Samsung Electronics as a production manager and LG Electronics as a manufacturing manager in the refrigeration industry. He is a production industrial engineer. And welcome again, Mario.
Thank you. Thank you, Xavier. It's a great opportunity for me to speak today. Thank you.
Great, great, Mario. So let's start the conversation just for the people know you. Which are you? Who is Mario? And what was your initial career path? Tell us about it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm from an education formation. I'm an industrial engineer in production. I graduated from the Instituto Politécnico Nacional in Mexico. That is one of the biggest public schools in Mexico.
Yeah,
I was graduated in 1994. Then at that time, I initially started working in services. At the time, I was not in the industry. Mm-hmm. And then actually in 1996, and mainly related to the commercial trade between Mexico and North America, a lot of investment came to Mexico to support
right.
the North America expansion. Then mm-hmm. at that time, I decided to join the industrial activities. I saw at that moment, I remember I was actually, if I go a little bit uh-huh. back, I was initially in my education, I was thinking to be a civil engineer that was mainly focused on construction. Then I changed my mind to be an industrial engineer.
Yeah,
because I saw the growth, the future for the business in the industrial activities in the country. And I joined initially at that time in 1997, Daewoo Electronic, but it was a new Korean project in my hometown in Querétaro. It's north of Mexico City, about two hours from Mexico City.
Yeah.
And I joined at that time Daewoo in this project that was really related with refrigerators and washer machines. And I started my career there. It was a very, very important step, I can tell, because I moved to a completely new world for me, working in manufacturing, but really connected with project because it was a new operation with a new culture. It was one of the first Korean investments done in Mexico. And then I can tell that the cultural connection was difficult, represent a lot of challenges at the beginning. And for me, it was probably one of the most important lessons at that time. I realized because I started in January 97, and then in August, I went to Korea for 3 months to be part of a project for a new production line, new product development. And then I worked very close with a lot of very experienced engineers in Korea. And I was able to identify the cultural relevance in terms of connection.
No, I can imagine that that should be, I mean, an incredible experience for you as an industrial engineer in a new production site with the Korean guys, and that time talking about total quality in manufacturing and starting. So should be the great honeymoon, maybe.
Yes, it was very interesting. I can tell you, you know, I was very, very young, and I can tell I was open-minded. My first boss was a great mentor for me. He was a very experienced person that actually he used to be at that time the operations director for the factory. But he started from the bottom of the organization. He used to be in his initial times an operator in the production line. And then he was very, very strong in experience, very strong also on the human side. And it was very interesting because the cultural style was difficult, but I was mm-hmm. able to connect with my boss more under the pure directive approach and yeah. connect as a human. And yeah, you know, when I travel, I spend a lot of time with him in Korea. He was very, very important mentor for me. And I was able to understand and to see how this human connection makes the difference, no matter
the
nationality, no matter where we, you know, the past experience.
And which is a special advice do you remember for him as a mentor? Do you have any reminds on that?
Yeah, you know, he was especially very strong in terms of effort, in terms of dedication, in terms of details. For example, he, mm-hmm. I remember once, you know, it was a simple thing, but imagine I was ironing my clothes in one of the mm-hmm. travels, and uh-huh. I had a small burn with the iron in my eye. He asked me, "What happened?" And I said, "No, nothing serious. I just have a small iron burn last night." And he said, "You know, you are responsible for the safety of all these people. The first important message that you need to give is with example. You need to take care of yourself." This kind, you know, he was very strong in dedication, in details. He was very yeah. strong in details. Take care of the details. Watch the details. Yeah. He always said, the details make the difference. You know, I was 26, 27. Working with him, I learned a lot. It was a great experience. Then some moment he moved to a different activity. I decided okay. also to move to a different activity, but I can tell he was very important.
Very great guy. Initial career there. And after yeah. that, you've been with Daewoo, you moved to Peterson Spring. Tell us about that experience.
Yes, you know, one of the situations that happened at that time was that the growth. At that moment, I was, say, the chief of manufacturing, the chief of production chief, responsible for the refrigerator line. I was mm-hmm. not able to see a clear path to growth in the plant at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then I had this offer from Peterson, that it was mm-hmm. in the automotive industry. I was really passionate about the opportunity to be in the automotive industry. From some systems, you know, QS at that time, QS 9000, some of the quality systems and operational systems yeah. that are very strong in automotive. And nowadays, in most of the industries, but at that time, it was more in the automotive industry.
In the automotive industry, that's right.
And then I had this opportunity to take the lead of this factory that was actually smaller than the one I used to be in Daewoo, but I was able to full role of the operations of the factory as production manager there. And it was a very strong challenge. Actually, the whole thing was, this factory was one factory in Mexico, but it was in a kind of a crisis situation with some issues with some customers. And then it was really a big challenge in terms of improve the operation. All yeah. the management was replaced, and then all the management team replaced to really change completely the situation of the factory. And then the way that I saw it was a good opportunity to take a challenge, to grow, to learn a lot of new things. And then I decided mm-hmm. to move there. I can tell you it was a very, very strong challenge because in reality, the factory was in a very difficult situation with some customers, but mm-hmm. we were able to turn around the situation.
Oh, great.
We were able, it was 8 months probably that were very, very tough, but we had some quality issues. We have a lot of people, labor issues. I can tell the lack of
skills. Systems. And, that's right.
A lot of experience in the team, but not really good engagement, motivation, people management was probably one of the most important areas to manage. And then mm-hmm. we had not really a strong leadership and communication inside with the people from the factory, from the floor. And
yeah.
I spent a lot of time there in the floor, first learning because it was something new for me, but also connecting with the team, connecting with the technicians, with the supervisors, with the quality team, and then creating this connection between what we do in the factory with what we need to deliver to the customers, because there were some gaps in between the process.
That's key to connect with the people in the floor. Usually they know what is happening. They know they have ideas, but sometimes we lost the connection with the baselines. And listen then, and you create great synergies to improve the organization. That's right.
Exactly. And, you know, many times what happens is the team in the floor. They don't know what is happening outside. And the top management are not, you know, the top management is not aware about the what is happening in the day-to-day in the floor. Then it was a very interesting experience. I spent a lot of time really focusing the teams, learning, teaching, and traveling also to visit some key customers to have really this good connection. At the end, it was, I can tell, successful experience. After close than a year, I realized that it was under control. It was good.
Perfect.
But then it was really that moment that I realized that, okay, having this under control and with all the situation in good shape, it was really not project for expansion, for growth.
Yeah.
It was more limited, the business.
Yeah.
And then after the challenge to establish and stabilize, let's say, the operation and rise the operational level, it was nothing else
nothing more than the day-to-day.
To continue the day-to-day. And then at that moment, I was a little bit concerned, I can tell.
Yeah, got it.
What about, what else, what's next? Because the company didn't have expansion or growth projects in any of the different fields. And then it was a little bit concerned about the future.
Yeah.
And then
this is the reason that you moved to LG, that's right?
Exactly, yeah, because at that time I was thinking about this situation when I received an invitation to go to Monterrey for this project, because LG start a new project in Mexico. It was a greenfield project, completely from scratch, and the project was to open three different operations there together in Monterrey for basically refrigeration
equipment,
manufacturing.
Okay.
Then it was a very good challenge, I can tell. It was something big, something that I had already some experience from my previous activities in Daewoo. It was a good project in terms of combination of experiences, because located in Monterrey, different experiences bringing from different industries was also something very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided to join the team, and I spent there. I was there for the two first projects, spent quite long time in Korea, because we have new product to develop, new molds and new assembly machines, the construction of the building, and then receiving the machines, doing the installation, all the setup and the startup of the operation. During that time, I moved in different areas, mainly manufacturing, but also I was more involved with supply.
With the supply chain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Suppliers. Planning activities, all the planning, all the MRP, bringing all the supply of the different materials from the different.
Yeah, I can imagine that, because this is critical for the new installation. Not only the manufacturing lines and everything, but you need to assure all the suppliers in Taiwan, in Tier 2 or Tier 3, for you to get in all the material that you need to build for your production lines, no? For the compressors or the evaporators and all the equipment in the refrigeration lines.
Exactly. And also a project like this, as similar as the automotive industry, you set up the main factory, but also you set up around all the different key suppliers for different type of products. And then,
so for sure you work it in service level agreement or product service agreement, long contract, that kind
and,
of thing.
And
so,
support the setup of the suppliers, because something that happened normally at that time happened with the Korean companies, we have the LG factory, and around in the area, many other Korean suppliers that we support as a tier one supplier, we support for them to set up, because it's very interesting how the agreements are in the way that we manage very competitive prices, but these other suppliers, they manage very low fixed cost, and then the main factory provides some level of support for some technical activities, strategic activities, and then some of the projects for to set up the factory of the supplier.
Yeah.
We support the supplier to do it in the way that they because they don't have these strong capabilities, engineering. And then I was really involved on that with our own factory, but also with all our suppliers.
That is critical. And you remind me a time that I was in Johnson Controls, and we made the same. We're working with these suppliers in Taiwan, Taipei, training and organizing the process and assuring that they establish reliable process just to assure you that you will get the parts and the raw materials just to build what you need to build in your equipment. That is critical. If not, you are dead.
Exactly. Exactly. And even, you know, to hire some critical positions, you know, production, mm-hmm. you know, the supervisors, the interviews, and I support to do the hiring and the training, you know, bringing these key positions to our factory to be trained how the product works, how the process works. Yeah. Because at the end, something that I learned after the years is that no matter which area you work, no matter mm-hmm. if you are in HR, finance, legal, obviously all the supply chain functions, but no matter which area you work, as much as you know about the process and the product, you will be doing well. You know, you will do, you know, you will have better information to make your decision, no matter which area you work.
Definitely. Definitely. And that is very, very important. Knowing in very detail the products and knowing exactly, as you said before, the processes, because when you match the processes and the strategic process and the operational process for each one, no, you could be the manufacturing, could be the forecasting, could be the CRM, whatever. So you are clear and you can teach all the rest of the team. You just work on processes, will be more efficient and will be more productive, and you will feel it at the bottom line in the EBITDA. You will get more money, definitely.
Exactly. Then it was a very good, you know, we did a very successful startup and ramp up that factory and project in Monterrey. We ramp up very fast. The time that we required to achieve the 1,000 refrigerators per day was super, super strong. We had a lot of something that we did from the very beginning was this people connection, and then in that side,
that is the most important.
Yeah, you know, the communication, the day-to-day relation with the people, the engagement.
With the team, the engagement is clear. This is the way that you produce synergies. Is when you realize that one plus one is not two, it's three or five or more.
Exactly, and you know, especially at the beginning when you have a new project, always the network, the collaboration, the engagement, always important. But when it's something new, you normally you face a lot of different challenges, and then the collaboration, the communication, engagement plays even more critical role. And we invest a lot of time and a lot of effort to develop this kind of environment. Mm-hmm. It was very challenging because besides that effort, we had the startup, all the difficulties that represent a new operation, plus mm-hmm. the cultural thing, the market stability, because in some areas, this level of the labor stability, turnover, absenteeism, and some situations around the market also plays. And then at that time, it was a challenging time in the area in Monterrey. And then it was very, very successful startup, I can tell. And the company and the project keep growing for many years.
Yeah. And after that is that experience in LG, you decided to move to Samsung. They found you. What did you did in Samsung as a production manager in refrigeration?
I was very happy in LG, I can tell. Uh-huh. I was very happy, but we had I had a personal situation, and Samsung want to open this operation in my hometown, that is Querétaro.
Querétaro, that's right.
And then they invited me. They were struggling, actually. It was very interesting because Samsung was already, the factory was already in the startup. They had about 6 months, something like that they started the operation. They were really struggling to stabilize the operation. And then my main motivation to make the decision was personal reasons. Mm-hmm. But then it was a little bit painful because I was very happy with LG, but I decided to take this challenge. And then when I came and I saw the situation, I realized all the good things we did there that was not done in Samsung in terms of collaboration, training, engagement.
This is what I was about to ask you. I mean, which because for sure all the expertise that you were able to build and build your skills in supply chain and in people management and working together, creating synergies, no, and commitment in the teams. For sure, you reapply or try to reapply here in Samsung. That's right.
Yes, for sure. But you know, the situation was quite difficult because the factory was trying to start up, but it was with a lot of different issues. We were producing air conditioners and refrigerators. It was difficult for different situations, but mainly I can tell all the different situations and issues we had, all of them were in the common ground that was people engagement, people training, people communication, and systems, you know, process. Then simple things that were not working, and then we start doing some specific actions in terms of daily communication, daily follow-up, process, you know, delegation of authorities for some specific activities. Some very basic things that we were able to see very quick positive reaction from the process. Normally in this kind of projects, you have some senior leadership from the original country, in this case from Korea, with some shadow, like doing this kind of shadowing of the local leadership. But the communication is key. For example, when I refer to my first boss that I had in Daewoo, we were very, very close. We were really, really as one. If we don't do that, this relation between the senior and the local leader, actually, instead of create collaboration, create some gaps in between the teams. I find this situation there in Samsung a lot. And then I really start, I can tell my personal experience was great with all the time with the team from Korean management. Very strong, straightforward communication, very transparent, very proactive. And then it was good. We start discussing. There were some issues that they were not aware about them because the local team were not able to communicate properly in the way that they understand the difficulties. And you know, sometimes when we are, if I said, for example, in Mexico, but that happened in France, that happened in the US and everywhere, there are some things that for the locals are quite straightforward, but for someone from outside,
it's not easy to understand.
It's not natural. It's not easy to understand. We need to, to give more details. And then this connection was very important. I spent a little bit of time reviewing some specific subjects about safety, for example, or about communication style or communication in the between the shifts. The line of command and the authorities, how it works is quite different.
Then great.
It was a strong challenge, very interesting in terms of progression. We succeed after a few months to stabilize the operation.
The operation.
Basically, we were running three shifts, producing with a production result that shift and a half, and then very soon in the next 2 months, we were able to adjust everything to only two shifts and really work in the efficiency levels and all the different KPIs. It was a good project because it was not that long because I had the contact from Electrolux, and that was a very big project. I can tell at that time Samsung was limited in the project that they had in Querétaro. Nowadays, they grow a lot, this campus, but at that time, it was small. And then I received this invitation from Electrolux. They were looking for an operations manager to basically lead one big expansion project that was a greenfield project, but it was five different factories to start five. It was a big campus in the north of Mexico, in the border with the US in Ciudad Juárez. And that was a different kind of project, much, much bigger in terms of expansion, growth, and also exposure.
A big challenge for you to try to place all the learning that you made before in, well, you knowledge as industrial engineer that you synchronize everything. I say that the industrial engineer as the mechanical engineer are natural synchronizers. That's right. All the learning that you got, I mean, through for sure, give you the full perspective and the right skill to deal with this new challenge in Electrolux, no? Doing this as an operation manager, no?
Exactly. All the, you know, all these different projects and different challenges with different teams and different working culture give the support to be able to work in this big project. Because at that moment, we were discussing to relocate some operations from different areas in US and Canada to this big campus in the border in Mexico. And then it was a very attractive project for me. I decided to join the team, and I was actually one of the employee 25 in the organization in Mexico for this mm-hmm. project. And then it was great experience. I stayed there for 8 years. We opened 4 factories during this time, plus division, 5 different buildings in the same campus. Then I moved in the different phases of the projects. I stayed 8 years. The first factory that was the biggest was pure refrigerator factory. And mm-hmm. I spent there basically 3 years there in that project from the beginning, because it was a green field. And then I remember the first time I was there, you know, at the end of the city, and we were discussing with the local authorities, because that was another dimension that I got involved. That was local authorities, negotiations for the future expansion projects, incentive programs with the, you know, government and local authorities and all the services. And then it was a different kind of involvement in this project. Then we were at the end of the city, and we say, you know, from here, 7 kilometers down there, we will have the factory next year.
Wow.
But it was nothing. It was just nothing. And then it was a big expansion, not only for the company, but also for the city. It was one of these projects that actually create expansion in the community.
That's great, because it's creating value for the economy, for the local economy, and also for you, because you were able to place in practice all what you learned as an industrial engineer and the previous role, working with the people. And for sure, I think I know that your passion for learning, no? And so you were able to, okay, let's go ahead, let's make this happen. And this is the right attitude for the people to be success in their career. No sitting in one side and waiting for the support. No, let's go and do this, no? And commit everybody and engage everybody to for the objective.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. You know, it's amazing that what you just said, we can have a lot of talent, a lot of experience, but the magic will come when we create the connection between all of them, the willingness, the knowledge, experience all together. That makes the difference. And then in that project, we, at some moment, we had more than 130 people in US at the same time in different locations, between building equipment, training, validating equipment, validating materials. And then I was responsible for all this coordination. That was the preparation of the startup of the factory. Then it was a great challenge for me, because it was completely different. We have people in different states doing different activities. And I was then traveling in all different locations to follow up with different activities. And then at some moment, everybody came back to the factory to start receiving equipment, start hiring and training a massive amount of employees. We hired almost 600 in the first month. It was a strong startup process to start up the first factory. But as you said, when we reach the level of engagement and really team collaboration between all the different members, is where we can see all the experience, all the knowledge working together.
Working together and fully aligned. That's
fully
for
aligned.
Sure.
Yeah. It was a very strong challenge, because it was, a big project. We started a factory, a refrigerator. We started in 2004, this preparation. In 2005, we started the first factory. Then 2006, the second line, that was the second half of the factory. And then in 2007, I moved to the new project, that was to prepare the second building, the second factory in the same site, that was now focused on washer, machine, and dryers.
Wow.
And I spent there almost another 3 years in this operation.
Yes, I can imagine. And for sure, all this learning and applying knowledge opened the door for moving to big, no? As taking major responsibilities. So you arrived to be with a promotion, that's right?
Yes, when I came to big in 2012, it was, you know, this factory that we have in Mexico City is the biggest factory in the world in stationary products. It's a factory that we produce about 1.92 billion units per year. Imagine 8 million units every day, different kind of stationary products, good level of technology and very relevant portfolio of products. Then the person, my successor, that was the America's leader, he planned to be retired in 2014. Yeah. He was based in US, but spending most of the time in Mexico, leaving the factory plus, leaving the operations in Brazil and Ecuador, US, and at that time, New Zealand. Then they were looking for someone to take the factory in Mexico, that was the biggest and more complex, but then 2 years after, take his role as head of Americas. And then since the beginning, when I joined the company in 2012, was with the expectation that if everything goes well, I will take the responsibility of the region in 2014.
Yeah.
And exactly what happened. And then I took Mexico in 12, and then in 14, I grew to all Americas for stationary products.
Just handling how many plants? I mean, when you refer to manufacturing Americas, I mean, you refer to different operations, that's right?
Yes. Well, at that time, it was only stationary products. And then at that time, we were talking about four factories. One in the U.S., one in Mexico, one in Ecuador, and one in Brazil.
Yeah. So you got the responsibility for all these operations.
Exactly. And then similar approach, I can tell, connection, engagement, the team, sharing best practices, creating, because always the challenge is how can we develop standards without, standards with freedom, I call it this way.
Yeah,
standards with freedom. That we can have standards, but at the same time, some level of freedom that we don't, because if the standards are too strong, we kill creativity, we kill flexibility. And then how we share best practices, how we set standards, but more as a framework, that we can have these standards, but then inside of these standards, some level of freedom that the teams can maintain this creativity, these proposals. And then it was a very interesting...
And I guess that should be, because, we as American people, as Latin American people, we used to say, we know how to do it. We don't need somebody else to teach us, no? This is sometimes in the DNA, no? But so how you deal with all these different countries and trying to push all of them, okay, we need to create this standardization in process that sometimes is difficult, no? So, but...
I think engaging the teams, for example, in 2014, when I took the role for Americas, we launched a manufacturing system in the region that we were doing some connection to, let's share some practices about certain subject and how we come with a standard. And actually, what makes sense to standardize and what makes sense to only set a frame, and then we maintain some level of local freedom to manage. And then it was I think the fact that we have the teams involved in the creation and the design of some of the concepts was a very good way to engage them. Now, there is a point of investment. I always said, I travel a lot and I spend time with the teams, and I normally go and, let's work, but also have time to go to take dinner together and spend some time together. The connection that we can develop as a team, as a team, if we can have fun together, if we can laugh together, if we can, we need to invest in create a trustable relationship.
Yeah, then, that's critical.
That's critical. And then I invest time on that with the team in US, the team in Brazil, the team in Ecuador, obviously the team here in Mexico.
Yeah,
and then,
definitely. Creating the process, creating the connection to the teams. And I guess that for sure you with the full responsibility of these four plants, and all the America manufacturing. How was the connection implementing all the sales and operation planning process? Because for sure you got a quite big responsibility or accountability in that, just trying to align with the commercial teams, all the sales, and how you made the connection for producing and making available all the products through all the region. No? So how did you deal with that?
I set up a good communication flow with all the main stakeholders. I can tell in these positions, probably one of the most important elements is stakeholder management. And a stakeholder means my team, my peers, but also my customers. With the commercial team, we develop very strong relationship. For example, every time I go to Ecuador, I spend time with the team in the factory, but I also spend time with the team in commercial. And then I talk to them, let's have a couple of moments during the week to exchange, to discuss about the needs, but not only myself and the person responsible for the commercial activities, also the main players of the team. And then, very interesting, as soon teams below see that the teams, the leaders are working together and we are very open, transparent, and we actually, the wording, you know, if I said, you know, my main mission is to serve you, my main mission is to support what do you need.
That's right.
I want to know that. How can I support you better? These kind of things makes set a tone with the teams. The leader shows collaboration. The teams reflect the same collaboration. And then
modeling.
In Mexico, modeling, exactly. And then
that's it.
I spend time with the teams in commercial, understanding the needs. And same thing, if you have a problem, you have a challenge, call me. We will find a way to do it, you know.
Yeah, that's collaboration. Very key, important, because you are walking the talk. That's right.
Yeah.
So you are modeling, and this is what we need to show to all our people growing as a leaders in the organization. And this is the right way, no? Just catching the needs of your customer internal, but basically an internal, and working with them in commercial. You understand that they need how to build the right confidence in the forecast, how to do the right synchronization through the sales and operational planning process. That's critical for you in that role, for sure. Modeling that is very important for all the team doing the right things, no?
Exactly. And you know, the way that we approach the challenges, because there are moments that we have higher tension. And then when we have higher tension, when we have a challenge, is the right opportunity to modeling this kind of concepts. Because you know, when we are good, when everything is going well, it's easy. When the things get tough is when we really show up. And then
That's right.
We have an issue and we said, okay, let's talk with the commercial team, because you know they have an increase in the demand and we are not able to support because we have an issue with the capacity or we have an issue with the operation. Then let's have a conversation. And then to be in front of the customer, in this case, our commercial team, and say, you know, I'm sorry, but we have this problem and I want to talk to you because let's find what is the best way to do it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
The most important priority is to serve you, but we have a problem. How we do it?
Yeah.
And then this kind of approach generate, first of all, eliminate any intention of finger point or attack or, you know, and really set the common
spirit
for work,
the
spirit of a team.
Of collaboration, and
We did that in Americas all the time. I can tell 4 or 5 years we had this ongoing in Americas. And then at that time, my boss told me, you know, in the way that you have the organization works in America, let's say, the communication and the way that manage the different difficulties or issues that you can face along the year, is what we need to develop everywhere. And then
we
were talking about change. Obviously, each region has some differences, but also a lot of similarities. I can tell when we talk about collaboration, when we talk about communication, engagement, and modeling, walk to talk.
That's the key.
And it's the same.
You're
in India, in Africa, in Europe, or Americas.
Or in the moon. That's right.
As long as we have people involved, it's the same.
That's right. I'm just asking because it's a question that we should do also, no? How did you deal in that time? Because just starting all the COVID situation or the pandemic situation, and how you deal in these 2 years with the COVID, because for sure it has been affecting the labor, maybe some shutdown of the plants, I don't know, raw material for sure. So how did you lead with that?
Well, I can tell that it was, I think for everybody, it has been a continuous learning experience. We had an office in Shanghai, and I remember in February, actually beginning of February, first week of February 20, I was in Europe, and we were discussing, because the problem was in Shanghai already. We had our office in Shanghai shut down. And then at that time was just the beginning, first cases in Europe. And then we were together in France and we launched at that time weekly follow-up and weekly protocol. And then we discussed together and we said, you know, we need to launch a protocol because this one is moving. At that time, we were discussing more what opportunities could represent, considering some challenges in the supply chain of the material, but also supply chain of the product, and not only from us, but also from competitors coming from Asia. And so Then we discuss, we start a weekly follow-up, and we have a very strong HSC process in across the different factories. I'm responsible now for 14 factories between the different regions. At that time, we had actually more because we had a couple of more in Ecuador and in India. And then we established a weekly follow-up for the protocol of COVID to follow up. Mm-hmm. And we established very, very, from the beginning, some health protocols. Then we launched, for example, in all our factories, we said, okay, let's see what can we produce to support the pandemic. And then we started in Brazil, in France, in Mexico, in many factories, production of some components. For example, we have until now, all the face masks we use, we produce in one of our factories in France. And we develop a machine to produce face masks. We produce alcohol, gel, and then we start some donations in some hospitals and schools and some different, we start some donation, but we start moving very fast in February, March, April to produce for our own use, for donation. And then we're really thinking, how can we combat this situation as possible as an opportunity. And then the protocols that we launched helps a lot because we were, I think, ahead.
Yeah.
But also we start very constant communication with all our teams around the world. And then it was a very strong communication centrally and then locally.
Yeah.
And then everybody, we were following very close. Each time we have some team members sick, we have some, in some factories we shut down, you're right.
Yeah.
In some factories, for local mandate, we need to stop for some weeks, and then how we manage those shutdowns. In some other factories, in France, in Mexico, in the US, we manage. In Brazil and Mexico, we shut down only very few weeks. We were able to have some essential products permission to keep operating in most of our operations. But anyway, at some moment during the big peak, we decided to stop to avoid additional risk with our team members.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Then I think communication, coordination, the protocol between global and central protocols help us a lot. And we did that with our team members and also with our strategic suppliers.
That's critical. And I can imagine also, because we have been watching that in the industry in general and also in the trade, that digitalization of the industry, the move ahead on new artificial intelligence, data management, so have been impacting that in your manufacturing areas. You have been placing new digital transformation inside it?
Yes, well, we have different flows of work for this digital transformation. We have, one side, we are developing more and more products that can work with these digital tools. We have some acquisitions. Last year, the company acquired Rocketbook, that is a digital notebook that basically write and upload all your information to the cloud. And then we own this digital notebook company. And then we are doing some investment in new products related with the digital world, but also we are, the market is shifting more and more. Let's say, if we see the developed countries, North America, Western Europe, we are moving more to the higher, let's say, higher value products, more selective, different colors, different kind of design. And then we have some product families that are really growing a lot in the mid high value products for stationery and for shavers, because we can tell that also shaver has their own trend, not only stationary, but in shavers as well. And then, let's say, moving to higher value added products in the developed markets, while in the developing markets, when we see Africa, some areas in Asia, even some areas in Latin America, we still see growth in education, growth in demographics. And then we need to also expand the reach of the customers in all the different sectors. And then we have strong strategy that combine portfolio of products depending on the different markets, and also the reach and expansion on the different regions based on the growth trends that we have for those. In the last 3 years, beside everything that we did with the pandemic, we did one of the main homeworks has been design the footprint for the future. What is the best footprint we should have considering the trend of the markets. And then this footprint means where and which product we need to be producing in each sector to be as close as possible to the markets, to the consumers, but also at the same time with the right type of products.
Yeah,
every market. And then this relation has been something that we used to have probably more stable condition in the previous years. Nowadays, this footprint design, it's much more relevant to the actual needs of the... And that applies for all different industries.
That's right.
And just before ending our incredible conversation, I really have been enjoying all that experience that you have and all the implementation that you made related with all the manufacturing and the supply chain processes inside an organization. I would like to ask you, which skills do you consider the most important for you as a SVP Global Manufacturing or for a Supply Chain Chief Officer to lead an organization and team? Which do you consider the most important?
Well, I think there are many, let's say, competences that we need to develop. But if I can mention the most important, I can tell probably the ones related with the, let's say, from soft and hard skills. If I tell these leadership skills are super relevant, the network management that I was saying, collaboration, communication, development with the teams, ability to develop trustable relation with the different stakeholders. That's probably, and this is more than, is more art than probably something that we can learn in the school or in a program, but really the creation of trustable collaboration network, that's key. Then that means listening, transparency, empathy, very creative, strong relations is very important, especially nowadays in a multicultural environment, because we tend to see the situation with our own filter of our experience and our, let's say, cultural condition,
that's right.
Very important that we think in a multicultural mindset because the world is one. Now, that's probably from the side of the of leadership communication that I think is very important. Now, on the other hand, this ability to manage the business with the full integration of the different variables, really business acumen, in terms of connect, if I'm in manufacturing, but I cannot drive manufacturing with manufacturing hat. I need to drive manufacturing with business hat. Business is finance, is projects, is service level, is customers, is sales.
That's right.
And then I think we need to really invest time and invest in activities related to the areas that are not my own area, but are my main stakeholders. And then depend on where you are, you need to invest time of yours. I'm telling someone that is in supply planning, you know, you need to invest time in manufacturing. It's important that you understand the manufacturing. It's important for me in manufacturing, learn and understand the planning and the customer. Then
that's right.
This business acumen is very important, especially at higher level, to make the right decisions and to make the right projections. When we combine both, if we really understand the business and we focus in to develop the collaboration, you know, trustable collaboration network with our stakeholders,
we
will set an environment. And especially at the top level, we don't do with our hands many things, but we develop all the conditions, all the environment for our team to develop.
Fully agree with your point of view of the skill, which are the key ones for doing that. And just for your final recommendation for young supply chain or young manufacturing professional, which recommendation, special recommendation, could you give?
If I recall my initial days, I can tell that from the beginning of the career, one thing that will make the difference is to really invest time, effort, dedication in these two areas. Develop trustable and collaboration network and learn from the other areas that are not only your own area. I remember my initial days, I was in production and I stayed one night until 3 a.m. with a technician of maintenance fixing a vacuum pump. And somebody asked me, but why you stay until night fixing a pump? This is maintenance, so you are in production. And mm-hmm. I remember I said, you know, I want to learn because probably one day I will be responsible for maintenance. But, you know, I stay until 2 a.m. with this person fixing the pump, but I mm-hmm. didn't know how it works. But we do not only fix the pump, we made a relation.
Yeah, that's
right. We made a trustable relation. And then invest time to connect with others and create a trustable collaboration network, and invest time to learn about the other functions and show importance to the others about this interest, payback at the end.
Yeah.
Those two payback.
That's right. Definitely. I fully agree with your word. I mean, have been a great, great conversation, my friend. If I call you right now, my friend, Mario.
Yes, thank you.
For sure. For sure. I don't know if you want to make a final statement.
Thank you for the opportunity, Javier. And as we said mm-hmm. at the beginning, this is a great opportunity to share from our experience to probably support other members around the different countries for development. And then everything that I can do to share and to support others to growth and you know, companies and professionals, it's a great opportunity for me. Thank you for that. And we will be in touch.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mario, for being with us. And thank you for our listening to our podcast. If you like what you hear, you must go to www.alcotglobal.com and click on the button of the podcast to see all the programs and notes. You can also subscribe to the mailing list to receive all the updates and news. You can share with your friends and also follow us on LinkedIn. And if you are looking to hire people, senior supply chain, senior executives in manufacturing in your business, in Latin, US, or worldwide, just please let us know and how can we help you and support on this search. Thank you very much.